But first, I want to give a little bit of an introduction to how the Torah ends and how the Torah begins and the connection between them. The Torah ends with what seems to be a very difficult ending. Why it chose to end with that. The ending of the Torah is Ulechol Ayada Chazaka, all the strong hand Asher Osa Moshe La'ene Kol Yisrael. Strong hand that Moshe performed in the eyes of the Jewish people. And Chazal say, what does that refer to specifically? That he broke the Luchos. When he came down from Har Sinai on the 17th of Tammuz, and he saw that the Jewish people were worshipping the golden calf, he broke the Luchos that the Rabbanu Shlomo had given him on the sixth day of Sivan. Now that was the greatest accomplishment that Moshe Rabbeinu had, that the Torah ends with that. This is the strong hand of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he broke the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do many more significant things. And this is what the Torah has to end with. This is the most significant episode that the Torah finishes everything. It goes with the finale. This is the finale of the Torah. Moshe broke the Luchos. What? I was thinking to explain it in the following way. We have two Yomim Tovim that we celebrate Torah. Shavuos, obviously, is Man Matan Torah Seinu. Shavuos is the time of the giving of the Torah, and we celebrate Shavuos. We don't make hakafos and we don't dance all day with the Torah. We celebrate Shavuos as the day the Torah was given. And then we have Shmini Atzeres, which has taken on the character of Simchas Torah. In Chutz Laretz, it's the second day is specifically Simchas Torah. This is the day that we rejoice with the Torah. First of all, why don't we do that on Shavuos? And secondly, what's the difference between Shavuos and Simchas Torah? Each of the Yomim Tovim corresponds to another one of our Avos. Pesach, which is the holiday of Emuna, the birth of the Jewish people, corresponds to Avram Avinu. God did tremendous chesed to us, took us out of Egypt. Avram Avinu is the Amud HaChesed. Pesach and Avram Avinu go together. Shavuos, you would expect, would be connected to Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu is the Amud HaTorah. Emes, Tiferes. Those are the midos of Yaakov, but more specifically Torah. Yaakov Avinu is the pillar of Torah. Yet Shavuos does not correspond to Yaakov, rather it corresponds to Yitzchak. Now Yitzchak is the Amud of Yira, of fear of God, and of Avoda, service to God, prayer, sacrifices. Why then is Shavuos connected to Yitzchak and not to Yaakov? And Sukkos is the Yontif of Yaakov Avinu, Torah, but most specifically Shmini Atzeres, which is a yontif to itself in certain ways, corresponds to Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah. Now, wouldn't it be more proper that Shavuos should be Yaakov or Moshe, who received the Torah on Shavuos, and not Sukkos? In order to understand it, I want to explain the following. There are really two aspects to Torah. One is that God gave us the Torah. God chose us from all the nations of the world. He made a decision, it's His will, that the Jewish people be given the Torah. And He gave us the Torah. And in that respect, God was the active giver, and we were merely passive... Let me make sure this is working. Receivers of the Torah. God took the mountain, put it over us, almost forced us to get the Torah. And that was the giving of the Torah. Then came the receiving of the Torah. It didn't happen at that time because we didn't know what the Torah was. We got the Aseres HaDibros. It was pretty much foisted on us. And when Moshe Rabbeinu came to give us the Luchos where we could receive them, they were broken. And at that point, an 80-day period of prayer was initiated to get those Luchos back. 40 days Moshe Rabbeinu prayed we shouldn't be destroyed because of the sin of the golden calf. And another 40 days that we should be fit to get back what we lost. And those 80 days culminated on Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah again. Luchos Shnios. Second giving of the Torah, Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, we received the Torah. We got the Luchos. First time. Because the first time, we didn't get them. They were broken. We got them when we began to learn the Torah. What Torah specifically did we learn? We learned the laws of building the Mishkan. That's the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu busied himself with when he came down from the mountain after Yom Kippur, giving us the commands of the Mishkan to collect the materials, which we did for the next 4 days, and then commence the building of the Mishkan and all the learning that had to do with the building of the Mishkan. So our receiving of the Torah, the fact that the Torah then became part of us, we integrated it within us. We embodied the Torah within us. We learned the Torah, right? That took place after Yom Kippur. That took place on Sukkot. And it culminated on Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, it's interesting, the Sfarno says that in Atzeres, he doesn't say this, so you go back. And Atzeres, the Rashba says, is a ma'avar, a transition time. He says that when Mashiach comes, and then finally there's Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, and Olam Haba, we're going to graduate to a totally spiritual world, according to some opinions. There's going to be a final transition between the physical world and the spiritual world. And that is called Seudas Leviosa. The meal, the final meal, right? The last lunch, let's not call it the last supper, the last lunch in history, right, that the tzaddikim will eat the most refined foods and reach the highest level of physicality bordering on spirituality and then graduate to the next level of total spirituality. That's called an Atzeres. An Atzeres is a transition. Says the Rashba, similarly we have the opposite during the year. We have 3 days of Atzeres where we have very, very spiritual times of the year. Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos. And we reach tremendously high spiritual levels, but then we have to go back to the physical world. So there has to be a transition. The transition is called Atzeres. The last day of Pesach, Shnishel Pesach, is Atzeres. It's a transition between the spiritual height of Pesach and the transition to back to the physical world. Shavuos is an Atzeres. It's the highest height. We receive the Torah, given the Torah on Shavuos. That's a day of transition back to the physical world. And then, after the 7 days of Sukkot, we also reach tremendously high level, need a time of transition, that's Shmini Atzeres. Transition between the spiritual and the physical. Now the Sfarno adds to that. And he says that that transition takes place by spending time in holy places, in a shul, and concentrating on one of the modes of service to God. And there are 3 modes. Prayer, avoda, service, and Torah. So by performing one of those 3, or all of those 3, or any of the 3, in a holy place, we make the transition, we culminate our spiritual time, and then we make the transition to go back to the physical. That's what Chazal say, that God says at the end of Sukkot, Kosha lai predaskim, it's hard to say goodbye. So wait one more day, and then we'll make this transition, and then you won't have to say goodbye, because we will make the transition and carry the spiritual into the physical days. And that's why it says it's a suda katana, small meal, an intimate meal between us and God, in order to make that transition. Now I want to say the following. The Sfarno does not say this. He says that in one form or another, there are three forms of service to God. One that he calls service, one that he calls prayer, one that he calls Torah. That's the way we make this transition. I want to say that each of these atzeres is a different one. There's a different aspect to it. Pesach, what is the atzeres of Pesach? What does it commemorate? Shvi Shel Pesach is the splitting of the Red Sea. When we sang that song, which is a form of tefillah, form of prayer, and everything that led up to that song was that God wanted us to pray. So Shvi Shel Pesach, we utilize prayer as the transition. That's the atzeres. Shavuos, we utilize avoda. Avoda is sacrifices. We bring a special sacrifice on Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem, which we'll see in one second what that means, that represents the giving of the Torah. That sacrifice, we'll see in one second why Shavuos is sacrifice, and sacrifice fits in with Yitzchak, who was a sacrifice, and who epitomized the idea of avoda, of service, which is sacrifices. And Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, we utilize Torah. The Torah is the transition. So we have on Shmini Atzeres Torah, on Shavuos Avoda, Karbanos, and on Pesach Tefillah. Okay. Now why? Why is Shavuos associated more with sacrifice than with Torah? It's the giving of the Torah. But like we explained, there are two aspects to Torah. There is the giving of the Torah, where we basically acquiesced to God's will, and He gave us the Torah. We let Him give us the Torah. We negated ourselves. We subjugated ourselves. That's what avoda is. Sacrifices is you take an animal and you slaughter it and you burn it. Vicariously, the animal represents you. You give yourself, surrender yourself to God through the animal. The animal becomes identified with your physical side, and you surrender yourself to God through the animal. That's what you get closer to God. That's what we did when we got the Torah, when God gave us the Torah, Matan Torah. We surrendered ourselves to God and acquiesced to His will, and we let Him give us the Torah. We didn't protest like the nation said, we don't know if we can take the Torah. We said, Nasa Venishma. We totally surrendered ourselves into God's hands. That's sacrifice. That's avoda. That's being an eved. Avoda means the service of a slave. We became like slaves to God. We surrendered ourselves totally to God. That is what is called Matan Torah. And that's what we celebrate on Shavuos. Man Matan Torah Seinu. But when did we actually receive the Torah and make the Torah part of us? Integrate the Torah into our being, make the Torah part of us, learn the Torah. That was on Sukkot, and it culminated on Shmini Atzeres, where the Atzeres of Sukkot is Torah. But that's Kabbalah's Torah. That's the receiving of the Torah. And I think that the brachas that we make before we lay, before we read the Torah, and after we read the Torah, symbolize these two concepts. Before we read the Torah, we make a bracha, Asher bochar banu mikol ha'amim, v'nosan lanu es Torah so, Baruch atah Hashem no sinato. We say, God, you chose us from the nations of the world, and you decide us to give us your Torah. That is the bracha on the giving of the Torah, where we were passive. God gave us His Torah, He chose us, He decided that we're getting the Torah, and we surrendered ourselves, negated ourselves, humbled ourselves, and in true avoda, in service to God, we received the Torah. We were given the Torah. Then we lane. We read the Torah. We internalize it. We integrate it. We learn it. We make another bracha on Kabbalah Satorah. Asher nosan lonu Torah's emes. It's not anymore Torah, so God's Torah. Now it's Torah's emes. Emes is the meat of Yaakov Avinu. The chaye olam nata b'sochenu, and God planted within us eternal life. That eternal life is the Torah. Because it's only through Torah that a person has eternal life. Kihem chayenu v'orech yoneinu. And it's not just a nice cliche. It is a fact. Eternal life, the energy source, the light of eternal life is Torah. To the point where Chazal say, kol mi sheyesh bo or Torah, or Torah mechayeu. Whoever has the light of Torah within him, he integrated. What's the other word I used over there? Made the Torah part of him. That is his eternal life. And the Gemara asks, therefore, so what about women who don't have a mitzvah of learning Torah? Where do they get eternal life from? The Gemara says, because women support their husbands and children. It's not only their biological, physical husbands and children. Women support Klal Yisrael in Torah. They give the impetus for the men to learn Torah. It's not just their own husbands and children. I'll prove it to you. The greatest accolade, who was given the Torah first? Women. Kosomar lebeis Yaakov. The women were offered the Torah first. Because the Gemara says that everything depends on the woman. She is the impetus for all of Torah and Klal Yisrael. The men learn it. But the women are the ones who are the cause for the men to learn it. And therefore the women were approached first to receive the Torah, and because if they received it, then the men would also acquiesce. And that's why the greatest accolade, the greatest accolade that exists is Aim the Israel, a Jewish mother. How do I know that? Because there was a woman in history who had every quality. She served in many capacities that any man would be jealous of her accomplishments. She was a prophetess. She was a judges. She was a leader. She was a poetess. She was a warrior. She was a drove a truck. She was a chariot driver. She was everything. Everything. Devorah HaNeviah. And when Devorah HaNeviah got carried away with herself and she wanted to praise herself, she didn't say Achikamti Devorah Achikamti Shofetes Neviah Mishoreres Lochemes Manhiga. What did she say? Achikamti Ein B'Yisrael. That means the greatest accolade she could think from all her positions, all the hats she wore, was Ein B'Yisrael. There was a woman in recent history that got that title, Ein B'Yisrael. That's how she was referred to. Her name was Sarah Schneer, the founder of the Beis Yaakov movement. It's not well known, but it's true, that for most of her life, Sarah Schneer was not married. And she never had children of her own. And yet she was Ein B'Yisrael. So you see from that, that it's not necessarily your own husband or biological children. A woman can have effect on Klal Yisrael in a much more general way. And it's interesting, I saw in a sefer, I can't remember now where, I just saw it before Shemini Atzeres, during Chol HaMoed, there were special minhagim in Vermaisa. In Vermaisa, the women had special minhagim on Simchas Torah. The women would gather together in the courtyard of the shul on Shemini Atzeres, first day of what's it called, Shemini Atzeres in Chutz Laretz, Yom Tov Rishon, and they would pick a gabois, a woman who would be the gabai, and they would sell all of the honors for the year of who would provide oil for the lamps in the shul and who would sew the clothing that was necessary, the parochasin and things like that, and they would get that, and the women would have their special minhagim for Shemini Atzeres Simchas Torah. It's my idea. Here it's an idea of receiving the Torah. The women had a special part in that, so they had special minhagim. Now, how did Goyim have a share in the world to come? They don't learn Torah either. But Goyim also, as much as they feel that they are supporting the Jewish people in a physical way, they create the infrastructure of the world. They believe that God gave them seven mitzvahs to live a moral life and to not destroy nature, to live in harmony with nature, so they can create the infrastructure so the Jewish people can add holiness to the world, but first has to be a world. And they work in the electric company and provide lights for people to learn Torah. And they work in carpentry and provide chairs to sit on so you can learn Torah. And so on and so on. They create the infrastructure of the world. They have a connection to Torah. That's their connection. And that's how they get all the Olam Haba. So unless you have a connection to Torah, you don't have eternal life. That is the energy. The Torah is the energy. What was the, in this week's Sedra, the Eitz HaChayim. What is Eitz HaChayim? Eitz HaChayim Hila Matzikim. What's the Torah? You eat from it, you have eternal life. And in fact, the Shef Shmaisa says, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, that one of the people who forfeits his share in the world to come is HaOmer in Tchias HaMeishim in HaTorah. Rashi learns simply, somebody who believes that there'll be a resurrection of the dead, but he doesn't believe that there's a source for it in the Torah. He believes it, but he doesn't believe there's a source in the Torah. Torah never speaks openly about the resurrection of the dead. It's only hints. A person who denies that those hints are true loses his share in the world to come. That's what Rashi says. Very difficult Rashi, because somebody believes in it, what difference does it make if he believes that its source is in the Torah or it's not in the Torah? Therefore, the Shef Shmaisa says the following. He says what it means is something different completely. A person who says, I believe in the resurrection of the dead, I believe in eternal life, but I don't believe that it's caused by Torah. I believe that it can be caused by other things. He loses his share in the world to come, because he denies the principle that that is what eternal life is. So he says, Ein tchias ha-meisim min ha-Torah. The resurrection of the dead does not evolve from Torah. It doesn't come from Torah. That person doesn't have the resurrection of the dead. He doesn't have the share in the world to come. In any case, so that's the second bracha. That bracha goes on the receiving of the Torah. The Torah becoming integrated and part of the very fiber of the Jewish people, which is eternal life. That's the second bracha. Asher nosan lanu toras emes v'chaye olam nata b'sochenu. That's the bracha on the receiving of the Torah, after we lay. The bracha on the giving of the Torah is the first bracha. The bracha on the receiving of the Torah is the second bracha. Shvuas is when we were given the Torah. Zman matan Torah seinu. And Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah is the time that we receive the Torah. The Dubna Magid gives a beautiful mashal. It fits into this idea. Not exactly, but it fits what I'm telling you. He says like this, he asked the question also, why when we got the Torah on Shavuos, don't we celebrate and dance with the Torah like we do on Simchas Torah? He says like this, he says a mashal, as he usually does. He said there was once a king who had a daughter, and when the daughter was born, she was cursed by a wizard. And the curse was that if the person who was to marry her would see her before the wedding, she would die. So if she wanted to get married, the person had to marry her sight unseen. So after the wedding, right, then he could see her. I remember what the story was, but in any case, he had to wait a certain amount of time after the wedding to be able to see her, a week after the wedding, whatever. And then he could see his bride for the first time. King had a very big dilemma. The girl was a beautiful girl, and she was beautiful both physically and spiritually and midos-wise, but he couldn't let anybody see her, talk to her, get to know her. She lived secluded her whole life. No one ever met her, saw her, whatever. No one could see her before her marriage. So the king proclaimed that he has a daughter who's of marriageable age, and he's offering her for marriage, but there's a condition. The person can't see her, speak to her, get to know her. No one has seen her, spoken to her, gotten to know her, right, her whole life. And whoever will agree to marry her, sight unseen, the king promised him riches or whatever, but that's what it has to be. So everybody was afraid, you know, when you hear a thing like that, right? You can't see the cow, you can't speak to her, whatever, who knows what, you know, why the king is doing this. Obviously, right, he's not going to be able to marry her off if they see her or they speak to her, so this is not any great thing. But some brave soul said that he's going to marry this girl. So they married by proxy, Sidkala, under the chuppah. There was an agent that represented the Kala, and he got married, and he can't say that he was extremely happy on his wedding day, because he was still worried what was going to be when he finally sees the bride. Week goes by, they bring the bride to him. He sees her, he sees that she's beautiful. So okay, she's beautiful, maybe she's insane. Starts to speak to her. She's an intelligent woman. He gets to see how she acts. She's a tremendous palas midos. That's when he began to celebrate his wedding, and he got to know who the Kala was. On Shavuos, says the Dubna Magid, God forced us to get the Torah. We had no idea what it was. We had all this trepidation. We had no choice. We took it sight unseen, nasa v'nishma. How can you be happy? But after we got to learn the Torah, we got to see what the Torah is, and the way we explain it, that only happened after Yom Kippur when we got the Luchos and we started learning the Torah. Then we can be happy. Then we can have something to dance with. Now we know what the Torah is. Now it's something to be happy about. It fits this idea too. Now, let's take all of that and answer the question we started with. Which is the main thing? The fact that God gave us the Torah, or the fact that we receive the Torah and we make the Torah part of us? Which is the main thing? That question was posed to none other than Moshe Rabbeinu when he came down from Har Sinai and saw the Jewish people worshipping the Eagle. He had been given the Luchos, given the Torah by God. If he broke them, he was negating the giving of the Torah. He was abrogating it. That was it. God gave it, I broke it. No more giving. The giving is finished. On the other hand, if he didn't break it, the Jewish people could not receive the Torah the way that it was, the way they were. Because, as the Kutzker Rebbe said, Moshe was afraid they'd take the Luchos and dance with them around the Eagle. They were in no position to receive the Torah. And, if he didn't break them, they would never be in a position to receive the Torah. They needed to be shocked into repentance. What was the shock? Break the Luchos. If he broke the Luchos, he enabled the Jewish people to receive the Torah. If he didn't break the Luchos, they would never receive it, but the giving of the Torah would remain. Giving, it was given, but it never was received. Moshe Rabbeinu had to decide what was the main thing. The giving of the Torah from God's side, I can't break the Luchos. The receiving of the Torah from the Jewish people's side, I have to break the Luchos. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's decision? Break the Luchos. Because Moshe decided that his main role was not to be God's agent in giving the Torah, but his main role was to be the Jewish people's agent in receiving the Torah. And as the agent of the Jewish people to receive the Torah, he had to break the Luchos so they'd be able to receive it. Otherwise they couldn't. That's why he broke the Luchos, La'enei kol Yisrael, that they should realize that the Torah was meant for them. That it wasn't enough that they were given the Torah, but they had to receive the Torah and make it part of them. That's what makes the Torah a Torah. Without that, the Torah is not a Torah. I'll prove it to you. It says that had the Jewish people not taken the Torah that God gave them, if they refused it, the world would have reverted back to tohu vavohu. Because the world was created for the sake of the Torah. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner says it's not just on that one time of the giving of the Torah that applied. Im lo brisi yomim v'layla chuko shomayim v'orz osamti, if it isn't for my covenant, day and night, meaning, if there is no Jew learning Torah at any moment, then the world will revert back to tohu vavohu. The world can't exist. The energy source of the world is not just Torah. It's the Torah connected to the Jewish people, at least to one Jew. And the more Jews, the more substantial the world is. What do you see from there? That once the Torah was given, it only is a Torah if it connects to the Jewish people. If it doesn't connect to the Jewish people, then it's not Torah. Torah is Torah Yisrael. Yisrael, the Oraisa, the Kudsha Brichu Chad. God and the Torah and the Jewish people are one. And if any one of that equation is missing, then the other two are irrelevant. Without God, the Torah and the Jewish people are irrelevant. Without the Jewish people, the Torah is irrelevant. And to a certain degree, God's presence will not be made known in this world. And without the Torah, the Jewish people are irrelevant, and God's relationship to the world is irrelevant. So therefore, once the Torah was given, it's really the receiving of the Torah by the Jewish people on an ongoing basis that really makes the Torah relevant and gives it importance. So the main thing is not the giving of the Torah. The main thing is the receiving of the Torah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu decided. And that's the beginning of the Torah too. That's how the Torah ends. If you want to know what Torah is, what is the epitome, the finale? Le'enei kol Yisrael. That in the eyes of the entire Jewish people, they knew that Torah, what is Torah? Torah is the Torah that connects to the Jewish people, not Torah that's in a vacuum. And that's how the Torah starts. Bereishis bara Elokim, bishvil haTorah shenikra Reishis. The world was created for the sake of the Torah, but it was also created for the sake of the Jewish people, who are called Reishis. And the two have to go together. If the Torah does not become part of the Jewish people, then there's no Torah. So the world was created for both of them, and both of them have to go together. That's the lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the luchos by doing that. He made it clear. He made the decision that the giving of the Torah was not the main thing, but it's the receiving of the Torah that's the main thing. Okay. Any questions on that? We're going on something else. Yeah.
It's not like my heart. Moshe Rabbeinu had to shock the Jewish people. The shock had to be done by this method. He couldn't shock them any other way. Let's say he made the egel into dust, and he made it. He poured the thing out, and he killed 3,000 Jews and all that. That wasn't shock enough.
So
you have to shock it this way too.
He had to show them that, like Eliyahu HaNavi did, you can't tanz afal hachasas. You can't dance at all weddings. You can't straddle the fence. Eliyahu told the Jewish people, either it's the Baal or it's God. You can't have both. People think you can have both, right? Yeah, a little bit of the ego, a little bit of the luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu had to show them, if it's the ego, there's no luchos. And if it's luchos, there's no ego. He couldn't just show them to get rid of the ego, and the luchos is still around. It's one or the other. It's black and white. That's exactly what Eliyahu HaNavi did. That's what the Churban Beis HaMikdash. You can't have a Beis HaMikdash and function the way you're functioning. It's either you have a Beis HaMikdash and you have God's presence, or you don't have God's presence. There can't be some kind of wishy-washy in between. That was the shock. The same reason why the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed, the same idea why the luchos had to be broken.
Secondly, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know up front that God would give a second pair of luchot. Maybe that was the only pair and that's it.
Okay, but he knew that if he didn't break the luchos, they'd never be able to receive them, and then it wasn't worse off. This at least made it possible there should be a second giving and a receiving. Without this, there'd be no receiving, and then that was worthless. So what would we remain with? A giving of the Torah that's meaningless. It's irrelevant. That's the thing. Let's go into something else. Okay. Okay, let's speak about rain a little bit. Yes.
I'm sort of confused that Simchat Torah is a very new festival in terms of
it's not a new festival, just that character, yeah, the character that we finish the Torah then, right, is dependent on custom.
But the way we behave on Simchat Torah is a very recent development. A
few hundred years old.
Yeah. therefore, what's its basis? Where's its basis in the Torah itself? And Shmini Atzeret is not what we do on Simchat Torah. Generally,
it's not. That's not the way it's given in the Torah. It's not. It's not given like that. It's just that that Shmini Atzeres is a spiritual day of Simchta B'Chagecha. The custom became that the way that we express that Simcha is through the Torah. That's all. The essence of Shmini Atzeres is the Simchta B'Chagecha, pure Simcha. So the way that we express that Simcha is through the Torah, Simcha Satorah.
But that's all support.
What? No. And Ach, for Hayisa Ach Sameach is specifically on Shmini Atzeres. Okay, let me go on to some other things in Bereishis. But that's specifically, the last day is the Hayisa Ach Sameach, applies to the last day specifically, and that's a special Simcha that's beyond just the regular Simcha of Sukkos. And that Simcha took on the character of Simcha Satorah.